And so we're going to talk to Dan Albin. He is attorney for the Institute for Justice. And we're going to find out exactly what civil asset forfeiture is and why a lot of people are saying this is a backward step. Dan Albin, good morning and welcome to Mornings on the Mall.
Good morning. Thank you.
Glad you joined us. So just briefly explain to people exactly what civil asset forfeiture is.
So civil forfeiture is when the police can take your property and keep it without convicting you of a crime. The idea is that your property was somehow involved in a crime, and under civil forfeiture, the police don't have to prove that beyond a reasonable doubt that a crime was committed. They just keep the property and, in most cases, are able to use whatever they've seized, the cash or the car, and spend it on their own, spend it for their own purposes. So you see a lot of abuse with cars and cash being taken, and then that money being spent on things that there's no oversight by the city council or by the state legislature, and it gets abused quite frequently.
Dan, what are the kind of worst examples of this that you've seen where somebody who's innocent has had their assets taken and used wrongly?
Well, there are so many, it's hard to cover them, but I'll just mention a case I handled last year in Muskogee, Oklahoma. There was a band manager for a band that was on a charity tour of the U.S. from Burma that was visiting all of these Christian churches across the U.S., raising money for orphans and refugees in Burma. And the band manager was driving through Muskogee, Oklahoma during a tour break and pulled over for a broken taillight. And his car was searched. They found $53,000, which was the money that the band had raised through several months on tour. And they seized it and said it was the proceeds of drug activity, even though there were no drugs in the car, no evidence of any connection to drugs. It was just he was driving through town and had a bunch of cash, so they took it. And I think the reason that example is so compelling is because if this can happen to orphans and refugees and Christian bands that are on charity tours, it can really happen to anybody.
Now, we know that Eric Holder rolled back this and put some protections in place, and 24 states have passed reforms to protect property owners and curtail this activity. But Attorney General Jeff Sessions now seems to be undermining those reforms. What did he do, and why would he do this?
Sure. So I think it's important not to overstate the reforms under the Eric Holder DOJ. He did make some important reforms, but they only addressed a small segment of civil forfeiture. Civil forfeiture continues more or less unabated at both the federal and state levels, except in some of those states that have really reformed their forfeiture laws. But what Eric Holder did was he suspended a program called equitable sharing with adoptive forfeitures. And what that means is if local or state police seize cash or a car or something like that, and they want assistance from the feds to process that forfeiture, they can ask the feds to adopt the seizure and process it as a federal forfeiture rather than under state and local law. And one of the reasons you might want to do that is if you're in one of those 24 states that has reforms that make it more difficult for the police to forfeit property, and you're a law enforcement officer, you, of course, want to be able to forfeit the property so that you can keep it. So you avoid state law, and you send it to the feds, and the forfeiture is processed under federal law where it's much easier to take people's property. That, of course, is a big concern for anyone who cares about federalism or cares about, the actual protections that state legislatures have put in place to protect their citizens.
Now, I see very few people, Dan, defend this, at least in public, because yeah. It seems like everyone who has an opinion on this is against civil asset forfeiture. What, if any, is the case that people make that defends the right of the government to seize this property in this way?
Well, you're absolutely right. This is a bipartisan issue on which there is just incredibly wide agreement. 84% of Americans think civil forfeiture is abusive and needs to be reformed or completely eliminated. It's almost impossible to get 84% of Americans to agree on anything. So when you have that level of agreement about the problem, and you have state legislators on both sides of the aisle passing reforms, you have members of Congress on both sides of the aisle wanting to reform civil forfeiture, this is an issue on which the only real opposition is actually from law enforcement itself. Law enforcement thinks that this gives them extra tools to combat drug dealers and fight the war on drugs, and they say they need this money in order to keep funding various things that they're doing in their programs, highway interdiction things or buying equipment. The problem with that argument is, first of all, since there's no criminal conviction, you're not necessarily going after criminals. You're often going after completely innocent people. And so it's not fighting the war on drugs so much as fighting anybody who happens to get caught up in the forfeiture process.
Right.
And secondly, if you really do need this extra money for, you know, whatever the program is, that money should be allocated by the state legislature or by the city council through the normal budgeting process. It shouldn't be this off-budget slush fund that frequently gets abused and used on things like trips to Aspen and sports cars, and even in one case, they brought a margarita machine because it was a morale booster.
So, Dan, I've seen some defenders of this, to the extent that they exist, argue that this is constitutional because in order to get to the point where you can seize property, there's at least a modicum of due process involved here, which is that it's the preponderance of evidence suggests that that property was used in the way that they say it was used. Do you think that that sounds right to you, and do you believe that civil asset forfeiture is even constitutional?
No, I don't think it is constitutional, and it is true that if you are able to stay in the case long enough under federal law, you will eventually have a chance at a hearing where the government has to prove by a preponderance of the evidence, which is a very low standard, it's just more likely than not, or 51%, that your property was involved in a crime. The problem for most people is the amount of the seizure usually makes it not worth actually fighting. Most people can't afford to hire an attorney for $5,000 or $10,000 or $20,000 to fight the forfeiture of their car or of $8,000 that was seized. Most seizures are under $9,000, and when you have $9,000 seized, you'd certainly love to get it back. But if you have to spend $5,000 or $10,000 just to hire an attorney for sort of the initial process, it really doesn't make much financial sense. So as a practical matter, most people don't actually have an opportunity to get a hearing. And at the federal level, most of these are actually processed administratively through the administrative agency that took the property. So the DEA, the CBP, FBI, those sorts of agencies process them administratively, and those cases never even see a judge. And that's the case more than 80% of the time.
Wow.
So the vast majority of these cases don't see a judge, and even in those where there might be a chance for somebody to see a judge, it's very unlikely that they'll be able to retain an attorney to all the way through to the point of trial where they'd actually have to put the government to its proof.
Wow.
It's just amazing, and I'm so shocked that Jeff Sessions is behind this, moving the ball in the wrong direction on this. Dan, thank you for taking your time to explain this to the audience and to us. We appreciate it. Thank you.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Dan Albin with the Institute for Justice.